5, 4, 3.
Hi guys, 2, it's Professor Jen 1. Here, and I hope you are having a great day, or morning, evening, whatever it is, wherever you are as you're listening to this podcast. So I wanted to let you guys know that we have been very busy since our last podcast. In fact, Kat did 3 meetings here in Florida, and then she was home for 2 days before she had to fly out for Seoul, Korea. She is actually currently on the plane right now, traveling there. Her and Margaret have gone together. So please keep them covered in your prayers and declarations. We really appreciate that. And I wanted to share something really quick with you guys that I did for Kat. I copied and pasted several of the testimonies and thank yous that you guys have been sending in through the podcast or on her Facebook page. And I printed them out and told her they were for her to read while she was on the trip. She texted me right before her plane took off in Atlanta to tell me she had started reading them, and they were so wonderful. She was so blessed by them. So thank you very much for sending them in. It's awesome, guys. We really appreciate it. So tonight's podcast is going to be just like last time. We know you guys thoroughly enjoyed listening to the CD we pulled out of our archives. So we dug a little deeper and we found a series that she did back in 2009. And it was either her second or third time to Canada. And she did this series at the Shekinah Restoration Center. And it's called Heaven Invasion. So we're going to play the first one tonight, and then over the period of time that she's going to be in Korea, we will do one every few days until she gets back. And then when she gets back, we'll have a normal podcast with the Q&A session, because I know you guys miss those. I miss doing them too. So, but I think you're going to love this series set. It's got all of her original stuff that she did at the beginning when we first started out and she first started traveling and speaking. She speaks about the portal and fun in heaven, pets in heaven, and various things throughout the whole series. So I think you guys are gonna really love it, especially anyone who's new to the podcast or new to Kat and you don't know much about her. So you're gonna learn about her journey of how she got to where she is and the things that God has taken her and shown her. So you guys be blessed, enjoy the first CD, and then I will catch you in a couple days. Bye.
Welcome everyone. I hope you're ready for your life to never be the same again. Your city and your country to never be the same again. I'm not here just to release this revelation to you. God has sent me divinely to release it to the world. So this is a very significant event in heaven. It was ordained by God. It is no mistake that you are here. And if you don't believe that heaven exists, you will before this night is over. Let's give glory to Him first. Everybody raise your hand, even if you've never done it before. And repeat this after me. Father, we welcome you. Jesus, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. All of heaven, our family, our friends that now live there, we welcome you. Glory to God. I'll take just a few minutes to talk a little bit about myself. I have learned over the years that I enjoy very much to hear the guest speaker tell about themselves. I have a lot of funny things I could say. I was raised in a family of 15. That should tell you enough right there. I'm number 3, which meant my life was given up at a very young age. I became a mother around the age of 8 because my mother kept having them. I learned how to compromise. I learned that it wasn't all about me. So God had prepared me a long time ago for what I'm doing now, because it's all about Him. We learned long-suffering and perseverance because we had one bathroom in our home. That meant long lines, and they were always there. And it was enough that there were the long lines, but when it came the evening time, we actually had a scheduled time when we were to take our bath. We had this old clawfoot tub in our home. We didn't have a shower. But the alligator lived in the bathtub. And so you had to take Charlie out, clean the tub, everybody took their baths, and you put Charlie back in. My father believed in letting us experiment and know about the life that God had created, so we had our own zoo. And they lived in the house and out of the house. Right now, they're probably populating half of heaven. So we did enjoy a very different life. We didn't have a lot of television or movies. We wanted to use our creativity, and my dad believed in that. So many of us are very different, very creative people, and I thank him for that. He is right now in heaven watching this meeting, as is all of your families and friends. So you're being watched right now, so I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone, and you're going to look up to the ceiling through the portal, which I know a lot of you cannot see, and you're going to wave at your family and friends. Hello! And I can tell you, you just sent a shockwave through the portal because they are excited that they were recognized. If you truly believe heaven exists and you have family and friends there, then they can see and hear you. One of the first places I will briefly mention, it's in my book, but many people who will listen to these CDs later, they're not here with us or they haven't read the book. This is one of the most profound, significant places that he took me to. And before I show it to you and talk about it, we do have it illustrated. I actually do have illustrations of places that I was shown in heaven. I've known the Lord since age 4, and I'm 57, I think. That's my age. I don't ever remember because it doesn't matter to me. By the time I was young, I wanted to be 50. Because more than anything, I wanted wisdom, and I just thought that was a good number. I have a little bit more than I did when I was younger, but I'm still waiting on more. You can always use more wisdom. So anyway, God just started taking me up to heaven. I told you I've known him. I didn't know about him. I knew him. My father knew the Father. He knew the Lord, and he knew the Holy Spirit. He had personal relationships with all of them, as did my grandmother, who gave her life on the mission field in the country of Panama. She could see into the spirit realm. She could hear the Lord 24/7. My father could see and hear. So this is a generational thing. And by the way, I'm not the only one in my family like this. I have several brothers and sisters who are very prophetic, who also see and hear God. And he's shown them many supernatural things. And one day, possibly, they will go with me and speak about them. Right now, they're just shoving me out there to be the forerunner. And it does help a little bit to have the pink hair. I will briefly explain about that. After taking me on tours of heaven for many years, the Lord decided they wanted a book written. Of course, he knew all along it would be written, but I did not. After knowing him for many years, in 1996, he walked into my kitchen while I was doing dishes. And by the way, I'm not Susie Homemaker. I don't have those gifts. I would rather move things and shake things and make them happen for God. I was a business person for 20-some years. I worked with CEOs, and I loved it. I don't like to clean or cook or sew. I tape and staple whenever necessary. And you're lucky tonight. I don't think there's any tape or staples on me. But it's happened before. A button fell off. And we just kind of pinned it on me, and I've never taken it off and sewn it back on. It's very handy. If you want to change it, you can just unpin it. So I find many uses for that. But I was a business person, and God decided to take me out of that world and bring me home to be with him. So for 3 years, I spent about 12 hours a day with him to prepare me for what I'm doing now. And I enjoyed that time very much, not necessarily the cooking and cleaning, but that was part of it. So one day he walked in while I was cleaning the dishes. It blessed him that I was being obedient and being a good wife and mother. I spend 4 hours a night from midnight till 4 in the morning is my time with him. I sleep 4 hours a day. I've always done that all my life. I only require that I eat once a day, and I've been eating a little bit more than that while I've been here. I may not eat tomorrow because I had so much food. I eat only what you can hold in your hand, and that's not required by you, but that's what the Lord requires of me to live a fasted life. So when I do fast, it's not food, it's Dr. Pepper. And I know the way I say that, Dr. Pepper, I love it. I really do. So when I have to give that up, it is a big deal with me. And he does require that sometimes. But powerful things happen, and it's not what it is you give up. It's what it means to you that you're giving up, that you're willing to make a sacrifice in your life so your body is put down and your spirit is awakened, and you can hear him. And it isn't always the situation you want changed. It's you changing. Because when you change, things around you will begin to change. And later I'm going to share a little bit with you what happens in the spirit realm when you pray, when you dance, when you sing. Instantly, things begin to happen around you, even though you can't see them. Thank you, Margaret. This is my sister-in-law, Margaret, but she's like a sister to me. She was brave enough to marry my brother, RJ. She has great reward in heaven, as does my husband of 30 years. And I'm still madly in love. You can still have it, trust me. It makes it worth the trip. Well, he came in and told me that the Father and he had decided to start taking me on tours of heaven. So since 1996, they've been taking me and they still take me. So if you think I could ever run out of things to say about heaven, you're wrong. I could never stop talking about the things I've seen, the places I have literally visited. Not in a dream, not in a vision. I am caught up by the Spirit of God like John was in the book of Revelation. Actually, there's several people in the Word that were caught up by the Spirit. You can't tell if you're in the Spirit. And I used to wonder about the scripture that says they couldn't tell whether they were in the body or out of the body. Because heaven is a spirit realm, and your spirit is a spirit being. It operates in heaven just like your physical body does down here. You taste, you feel, you don't pass through buildings. Well, I haven't done that yet. But you actually walk, you still talk. Now, you can communicate by thoughts, and heaven, everyone can. And it is an awesomely beautiful place. So, of course, I didn't say no when he told me they wanted to start taking me. And one of the first places he took me was actually a fun place. Having been a substitute mother from the age of 8, I didn't have a real childhood. I didn't have a lot of time to play because I was helping. And so here I was, approaching 50, and the Lord said, we're going to make you have fun. And I said, well, my fun is being with you. And he goes, no, I mean real fun like a child. And he said, that's why the word says that you must be like a child and enter into the kingdom of heaven, because you're going to have fun there. It is holy. It is awesome. But it is the most adventurous place you ever dreamed of. If he can create this fantastic earth and all of the heavens, did you think he would leave fun out? He didn't. Believe me, I was shocked at some of the things that I was shown and that I got to do while I was there. But one of the places I will talk about, because it touches everybody, how many people here have lost somebody in their family? I would be surprised if almost everybody, and it doesn't matter if it's a grandfather, great-grandfather, I'm sure somewhere in your line or in your life, someone who is dear to you has gone on to heaven. Well, there is a place in heaven that God has made for those people to see and hear you. In Hebrews 12:1, if you want to get your Bibles and check it out, it talks about, it has just finished talking about the great men of faith who have passed on, who he counted righteous because of their faith. But then after that, in 12:1, it talks about, so there is a great cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us. You cannot be a witness unless you're seeing something, unless you're hearing something. That's why they put you on the witness stand in the court, because you have seen and heard something of importance. So they can see and hear us from heaven, but there are literal places called portals that they go to in heaven when they want to see and hear their family members and know what's going on in their life. So I'm going to show you a picture of that. I know the people listening can't see it, so I'll describe it. It is this beautiful, glorious building. It is massive in size. I never even could see the ceiling when I went into it. This is what it looks like. You go into this massive, beautiful building. It's all gold. And the streets of gold aren't made just because they're pavement. It's because he gives you the very best even to walk on. And if you will know the base of the columns, notice that they're sort of transparent. That's what the streets of gold look like. It's almost like a gold clear glass. And they're made like that because they reflect the glory of God. A lot of the things made out of gold in heaven are transparent. Some of the buildings are. Everything up there reflects his glory, which is why there are no shadows in heaven, because the streets and the road and the grass, everything reflects the glory of God. The trees, the buildings, even the sky. So you are engulfed by light at all times. This place was inside the building. That's why there's some shadow. The portal is about the size of a football field. There's beautiful stairs. They walk up the stairs and they look over this balcony. And when they do, whoever is on their heart at that moment, he allows to see and hear as close as this ceiling. Not millions of light years away, but that close. They actually see and hear what's going on in your life. And yes, anytime they want to. They are not upset or discouraged if they see family members doing things they shouldn't. And I can tell you what they do, because while I was there, this group of people saw their family member doing drugs. They didn't cry. They didn't run to the Lord and ask him to go down there and rescue them. They weren't even rebuking the enemy. They leaned over the balcony railing, and this is what they did. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you will come to be a mighty man of God. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you will not miss the destiny that God purposed for your life when you were born. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you will be becoming a living testimony of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then they walked away because they know what the will of God is for your life. That's why the word says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They know what his will is. They're living in his power, in his glorious presence. They know what he has planned for you. They know that he has power over the enemy, and so do we. And the day that we learn to walk in the fullness of our authority, evil will be scattered because they won't have dominion over us anymore. He gave us, his people, his believers, he gave us power over all the power of the enemy, not part of it. So living in the presence of this holy, awesome God, they know what he's about to do on this earth. Now, when they go there and they see family members getting saved, which that also happened while I was there, the whole place goes to pieces. Everybody runs over to those. Let me tell you, you don't have to wonder whether they've gotten saved or not, because they're jumping up and down, screaming and shouting and clapping. And they start a chain reaction in that place. Everyone in there starts shouting and glorifying God. They run over, they hug the family members because they know that one of their family has now been sealed for eternity and one day will come there and be with them again. There is the most awesome music in that place. There's like this green aura that comes from the portal. It represents the life of God. That's why that rainbow is around the throne. And in a minute, I'll talk about the throne room. It is one of the most amazing places because that's where the Father is. And he loves each and every one of you. He wants you to know that not only can you enjoy yourself in heaven, but this life is supposed to be a big adventure with him. You are not supposed to be moved by the events that happen in your life. The enemy hates each and every one of you because we're made in his image. He can't touch the Father, so he decided he was going to touch his people. But we have something within us that is more powerful than the attacks of the enemy. If you choose instead to praise him in the hardest times of your life, you loose all of heaven to come in on your behalf. You literally can turn the situation around by how you respond to those hard times. He received the greatest glory when you do that. You give the enemy, you give Satan terrible headaches. Literally, confusion goes into his mind because he cannot understand why he can't crush you under his foot, why he can't put you in a pigeonhole like he does everyone else. He is seeing duplicated Jesus in your life. And if you want to make him mad, you act like Jesus, because he hates it every time somebody is Jesus for someone else, either laying down your life, your desires, your opinions for somebody else. By the way, that's what that scripture means. It doesn't mean taking a bullet. That would be easy. That means when someone is hateful and ugly to you, you choose to love instead. That doesn't mean you're going to be a doormat. That means you respond to them with the love of God, because they're won by his love, not by fear. And that's what he wants people to know. He wants you to come into his kingdom knowing the power and the glory that's going to be in your life, the authority that he has given you in this earth. We were meant to rule and reign now. You know, we're not the fallen people. Adam fell, but we've been restored through Jesus Christ. Because the Father loves you, he has designed to prepare the most awesome place you could have imagined. I have literally walked through people's mansions. And I'm telling you, some people say, well, we shouldn't disappoint people by telling them that. What if we all get up there and there's nothing but little cottages or condominiums? When the word says mansions in the book of John, he meant it. Some of them are so huge that you need a map to find your way around. These mansions are designed specifically to everything you could desire, even supernatural things. You will go in there, and out of the walls of some people's homes are growing rose gardens. Not, they do grow in the ground, but they literally, and they're alive. They're alive. And you walk up the stairwell, and masses of roses, every step you take, there's a different aroma coming from the walls. And that isn't the only thing they do. They make music. They actually sing to you. Not just all the time, when you come home, they welcome you. When you ascend that staircase, they begin to sing to you, and you just hear the sounds of heaven floating through your being and into your home. You talk about an atmosphere. It is fantastic. Comfort isn't something you want. It's something that lives in heaven. And it doesn't matter where you sit or where you recline. It literally comes up around you and surround you. So no matter where you are, you have comfort all the time. The peace of God is everywhere in heaven. There's no fear, but there is still that excitement. You can be amazed, you can be surprised, and he does it all the time. He can make you feel like you're the only person there. And the Lord will walk up to you literally and step inside of you. You would think you're going to melt from the passion that comes from his being. You are overwhelmed and engulfed by wave after wave of love. We don't know what love is here. You don't. No matter how much people say they love you, it could never compare to the love the Father has for you. The love that Christ gave when he laid down his life. And by the way, it was a lot more than the physical suffering he had. He forever changed his state of being. Forever and eternity put flesh on his body. We're talking about a holy, awesome being who helped to create everything you see and things you don't see. And he decided to become like us, still God, still all God. But he did it so he would know what it felt like to be in flesh. He is acquainted with your pains, with your sufferings, with your distress, but also with your joy, with your excitement, with your amazement. That's why it is so awesome to accept him, because he is now one of us, but still all God, forever changing. He cannot ever go back to what he was before he was born into that body. He put his spirit in that body, forever changing the state of a holy, awesome being who didn't have to do any of it. So not only was this holy, awesome being put into the body who had to grow up just like every person here, experience things just like all of us, tempted in every way, but never sinning. And then to be taken from the supreme sacrifice he had already made by entering into a human body, he was then crucified. cruelly treated and beaten and shed that innocent holy blood, it will cover any sin, no matter how vile, how contemptuous. And I know many of us don't understand, how could he love somebody that would kill children? How could he love somebody that would murder people? They're involved in homosexuality, which, by the way, it is a spirit. It's not a sickness. It's not a disease. It's not a lifestyle. It's something the enemy is using to deceive and delude people. And he wants them free. Just like he wants a murderer free, a gambler free, people who live in fear, he wants them free. Because when they get saved, think what they could do, the testimony their life is. Many of them are. And in this coming move of God that's coming on this earth, millions of people will not come to God. They will run to God. And I'm telling you, revival like we've never seen before is about to sweep this earth, first through his body, so that we can start really loving each other, so we can lay down fear and confusion and secret sins. They will not be able to exist in your being. If he didn't come and divinely do something, we've had 2,000 years to get our act together, and all we've done was draw ourselves further apart. But he's about to do something supernatural. Joel 2 is about to happen on this earth. His glory will first cover his people and then penetrate the person of every human being on this planet. There will be no gray area to hide in. And what I'm telling you right now is the message. I have a story about heaven, but the other part that's so important about this book is the foreword to the book. It talks about the coming move of God on this planet. And I'm going to go ahead and read that to you right now. If it was something I received from God and wrote, I wouldn't need to read it. Because when he gives me a word, it stays with me forever. But this is something he gave through his scribe angels and delivered it purposely, so on the cover of the book it would say, forward by scribe angels. I can't tell you how many New Age people have bought this book simply because of that. And many of them have had their lives changed forever. So I'm going to read to you what was delivered to me. I was so overwhelmed because 15 years ago, he showed me this happening. I know exactly what will happen when this move of God, his fire, his passion, that fire is love. It is a consuming passion. It is the very passion that took Christ to the cross. And it's about to go into the heart of every one of you. So this is what the scribe angel delivered to me. To him who sits upon the throne, we give praise, honor, and glory forever and ever, that he would desire to reveal his home in the heavens to the men of the earth. Rejoice, O earth, rejoice, for heaven is about to kiss you. And when it does, the fire of his passion will consume every living being. He will forever leave his mark on the hearts of millions, and they shall come to know him as their savior. Be thankful, citizens of earth, that you are living in this day and hour when the glory of the Lord will cover the whole earth. How magnificent in his ways, how mighty in his acts is the hand of him who sits upon the throne. In eternity they shall sing about these days, the great and powerful days before the end comes. All things will be shaken, and all things will be restored to and through God's faithful believers. Prepare, O enemies of the Most High, to be made his footstool. None will escape his glory, and there will be no place to hide from his light. He who has chosen this handmaiden to reveal the hidden things, the precious things, and the treasures stored up in his heaven, for those who love him and love the coming of him. We, his faithful scribes, created by him in the beginning to serve in his celestial realm and to record the words of those we are sent for and to deliver and release his messages to those whom he trusts, are grateful to be a part of his divine plan in revealing heaven. Prepare, you faithful ones, who have stood under much warfare and devastation of the enemy. Prepare to receive great reward now in this lifetime and in the glorious life to come. You are about to see the power of your God released, and you will truly know that he is in control. Behold, his fire comes to blaze across this world and into the hearts of men to push back the great darkness and claim his creation back to himself. Prepare, men and women of God, those who watch over the souls of their congregations, to yield to the Holy Spirit of God when asked to lay down your plans man's plans and allow him to take control during this hour. For those who yield, there shall be great increase of anointing in your ministry. For those who refuse to yield, your place shall be given to another, and some will even sleep early. Prepare your hearts, for he must first visit his leaders and then his church body. Will you all be able to stand and carry this glory, or will you be exposed by its coming? The bowls before the altar are tipping, and the veil of flesh has been torn. Nothing or no one can stop what is about to happen. Manifestations of his power through signs, wonders, and the miraculous will happen everywhere. No buildings will be able to contain them. He will no longer be put in a box, nor will he wear any man's tag, but he will unite his true body of believers, and the world will know them by their love for each other. Prepare to hear a new sound, the sound of heaven. This is a glimpse into eternity. Prepare to read. Prepare to be forever changed. Prepare, people of earth, for God is revealing heaven. It so overwhelmed me because, as I told you, 15 years ago, I saw this happening. I didn't know when it would happen. I didn't even know what he was going to call it. But I literally saw the fire of God hitting places all over this earth. It so radically changed the heart of his believers, they actually acted like Christ. I saw churches actually destroying their denominational signs. I saw pastors preaching in each other's pulpits. I saw the body of Christ truly being the body of Christ. When that happens, then he's going to pour it out on the rest of the earth. And overnight, some churches will go from 50 to 5,000. People will run out of bars. They will run out of houses, businesses. They will throw themselves on the ground and scream out that they have to know God. I saw this happening with my own eyes. They will grab everybody walking by them to see if they can tell them how to find God, how to know him, because they're not going to be able to resist the Spirit of God. When his glory covers this earth, it will never be the same, because there'll be no more gray areas to hide. The people who have tried to say all their lives there is no God will be made out to be liars, because he's going to show up and show off like he never has before. Angelic beings will be sighted everywhere. It will even be captured on television and over the internet. No one will be able to deny that he is real. So at that time, they will have to make a decision. And when they do, that is when the darkness will get darker. Because the people who have been hiding, trying to play a Christian and don't want God and resist this move of God will go totally into the darkness. And there will be then copycat signs and wonders. I'm just telling you right now, there will be copycat signs and wonders because the enemy always does that. He can't create anything new. He'll take what God has done and try to defile it. So while these awesome miracles of God are happening everywhere that even the news media will want to see, they don't report things like that now, but it will be so massive they will not be able to deny it, and the people will be demanding it. They're going to want to know what God is doing, because there will be the dead raised, many dead, many places. It will not be an uncommon thing to hear about on the news that hundreds of the dead are being raised. When that glory comes to the earth and it abides in us, our shadows will heal people. It happened with the disciples. It's going to happen again. And the things that Christ did, walk on water, stop the storms, multiply the food, we will be doing that because the Word says we will. You are alive on the time of this earth that God is planning his move. This is not for 10 years down the road or 5 years down the road. It is going to start this year. By the end of this year, you will begin to see outpourings of this, and then it will come in mass. And people will not be able to hide secret sins going into the church. There literally will be signs in the foyers warning people, not sinners. The sinner won't come in and drop dead, because they're coming to find God. But the ones who call themselves Christians but live ungodly lives and they lie about it, they'll come and they'll drop dead, because holiness is coming back to his house. He's not abandoning his church. He's going to set it on fire. But with that will come more freedom than we have ever known, freedom and liberty to dance, to worship, to have joy in our lives. Yes, it is a holy, awesome thing, but it isn't going to be a serious, burdening thing. It will lift burdens off you like they never have before. You will be set free from so many bondages and obstacles in your life when you enter into the glory of God. And the only reason he's sending it and it exposes you is so he can prepare you to carry it. It is not a punishing thing. It is a transforming thing. So this next 15 years will be the most exciting, fantastic time to be alive on this planet. He's going to use children in phenomenal ways. Some 10-year-olds will pastor churches. They will speak the true, perfect word of God. Because children have a heart he can trust. That's why he wants us to be like children. He could have chosen me to have any color of hair he wanted. He chose pink, not me. I'm a business person, I told you, and you cannot look very professional with pink hair. You can look fun. You can look exciting. And yes, every day of my life, people ask me, you have pink hair. And I forget that it's pink. Isn't that amazing? I forget. And then people will stare at me in the grocery store. They'll stare at me at the gas station. They'll stare at me walking down the sidewalk, and I'm looking at them like, what's wrong with them? And the Holy Spirit will go, you are pink. And then I go, oh, my pink hair. And they go, yes. And they're waiting. And I've been asked many things, you know, are you a party girl? You know, are you a breast cancer survivor? You know, are you a Hannah Montana fan? I'm still trying to figure that one out. I don't know many 57-year-old Hannah, although I think she's sweet. But I say, no, I'm an author. And all of a sudden, it's okay to have pink hair. And the very next thing they ask me is, what did you write? And I'm telling you, the tattooed, the pierced, and by the way, God uses them too. I've had drunks come up to me, but many, many, many worldly young people approach me every day. They think my hair is hot. They think it's awesome. They wish their mom had pink hair. And it totally throws that door open. Because when someone approaches me, wherever I'm at, the Lord has me say the same thing. And I'll go, oh, well, God's been taking me to heaven for over 10 years. And he asked me to write about it, and I did, and I illustrated it so you see places that actually exist in heaven. And do you know that there's places to go and have fun? He's a father like your father, but holy. Heaven is holy, and you can't go there without the blood of Christ covering your sins. But there is nothing on this earth worth missing what he has prepared. And many times they'll start weeping, and they'll look at me and they'll go, I've got to stop sinning. I have to stop cussing. I thought God was dead. I was told that he never even existed. You mean you've seen him? And I'll say, not only have I seen the Father, but I've seen his Son. And they all love you. They've prepared this place. They have opened their hearts to take you in. We all came from him. They want you to come home. And they're totally overwhelmed. I've had so many people get saved, healed and delivered because of this pink hair. In the beginning, I wasn't happy with it, but for the last year, I have learned to love it. Besides, it goes pretty well with your wardrobe if you're wearing black and white. It's that spot of color you women are always trying to find. And I do have people actually, not because I asked them to, but there are literally people who have dyed their hair pink now in many different states. And they'll call and tell me because they're so excited, and I'm just praying that it was okay with their husband. And by the way, my husband thinks I'm hot. We have been married for over 30 years, and he loves my pink hair. As a matter of fact, he'll send me in a place and walk behind me so he can watch the people staring at me. And at his company parties, he makes me wear pink. So when I come in the door, they can't miss me. And recently he had a Harley given to him. He hasn't received it yet, but he's been dragging me to all the Harley stores, and guess what he makes me look at? All of the pink leathers, the pink helmets. And he goes, when we go someplace on a ride and you pull that helmet off, I can't wait to see them see that I have your hair matching your outfit. So my husband has a lot of fun with it, and that was a good thing because it was the Lord who asked me to do it. And after many years of going to heaven, he came into my home in the summer of 2005 and asked me to write this book. He said, the father and I are tired of the myths and the mysteries that have been told about us in our home. We're about to reveal the truth so that the world will know who we are and what we have done for them. That there was a price paid and anyone can come that wants to. He said, not only will you write this book, but you're going to illustrate it. We don't want people to just wonder about heaven and hear about it. We want them to see it. So in this book are 10 illustrations of heaven, places that I literally saw with my own eyes. I'm a sketch artist, so I told the Lord, well, you know, I only sketch, although it's pretty good. It isn't anything you would want to put in a book. And no one is ever going to see my sketches but my artist and the Holy Spirit. And although I like some of them, they were pretty surprising even to me. So he connected me with this awesome artist, who just happens to be the janitor in our church. I have an affection for all janitors. Some of them are very anointed people of God. But all you see is the service that they give. You don't see what's hidden inside of them. Don't ever judge a person by what they look like or by what they do. It's not who they are. Who they are is who God made them to be. And even though sometimes the world may not know, or even his people may not know, when you get to heaven, you'll know exactly who they are. Because your gifts are enhanced when you get to heaven. You don't lose anything. Whatever you're supposed to be on earth, and you did your best to do that for the Lord in heaven, you will have everything set in place for you to accomplish that. Don't think that you're going to lay them all down when you go there. If you were an artist, you will even be greater. If you were a musician, you'll even be greater. And so whatever your calling was on earth, if you pursued it here, you get to complete it in heaven. And the reason for that is everything you do in heaven is to be freely given. So everything you have is given to you. In heaven, there are places to go to get things. There are places to go and see things and do things. And the people that are gifted in those areas charge nothing. An artist has his entire gallery set up for him, everything he needs to produce that artwork. Even things and instruments that we don't know about, they have available in heaven. Any help they need to accomplish this is done. They have these fantastic galleries. You get to walk in there and admire it, and they give it to you. And therefore, when they go into another place and they see a jeweler, and yes, there's jewels and gems in heaven and colors that you don't even know exist. We don't know what jewels are on this earth. Because in heaven, everything is enhanced and fantastic. They can be cut in a way we never even dreamed possible, and he gives it to you. It isn't because you have to have it. It's because he promised to reward those that diligently seek him, that pay a price, that love others. Every single kind word and act you do is remembered in heaven. When you get there, he's going to reward you whether you want it or not. It's his way of honoring you. And even on earth, he says to give honor to who honor is due. And that doesn't just mean all the Billy Grahams and the Benny Hinns. That means the people who work in the nurseries, who clean the floors, who serve food. They're operating in what God called them to do. Their reward will be as great as Billy Grahams and Benny Hinns. If you accomplish what he called you to do, it might only be to give kind words to people. It might be to give people a ride to church that need one, or a ride to the grocery store. It might be to bake cookies and take them to people who've moved into the area, or people you know that just need an ear or a heart to listen to them. It doesn't have to be hard, but heaven is fantastic. When you walk down the paths in heaven, as soon as you walk down the path and you decide in your mind where you want to go, that path starts moving under your feet, even though it was never there before. There are so many supernatural things in heaven. When you walk by these beautiful waterfalls, out of the waterfall steps these angels whose job it is to care for them. They're most amazing creatures, and that is where I'm sure Satan got the idea of fairies, because if you were going to identify them without knowing what they were, they're very delicate in appearance. They're green. Some of them are blue. They are filled with light. It's like they sparkle all over their being, and yet you can see their appearance. You can actually see them as real beings, but they actually live in the waterfalls. It is their job to care for them, but they'll step out, and they'll start talking to you. When they do, lights, like little fireworks, start sparking out of them, and you just get joy all over you. You don't just look at something in heaven. You experience it. It is fantastic. When you walk by a bed of flowers, they're beautiful, perfect in every way. But the aromas change as you walk by the different flowers. And like I said before, they make music. If you're in a massive area that's coated with flowers and you stand in the middle, it's like you're in the best symphonic orchestra you have ever heard in your life. That music will engulf you and surround you and consume you. It's like it's just flowing right through you. And you get carried away. When you start worshiping God in heaven, no matter where you are, you ride on that worship right to the throne room. So no matter where you are in heaven, if you want to visit the Father, if you want to go to the throne room, you start worshiping. People nearby, if they join in, they ride with you. So you don't get wings when you go to heaven. You don't become an angel. Those beings were created long before we were ever here. But God did make ways for you to leave the ground. And this is one way you literally float on the worship. You see people across heaven. People ask me, how did you know you were there? I've not seen people floating across the sky here, singing. I haven't seen the flowers making music or changing colors. And when you walk by them, they all turn their heads and watch the direction you walk in. So believe you me, I knew I was there. Besides, the most permeating thing there is the presence of God. He is with you always, whether they're in his being, in his absolute being. He is there inside of you all the time. People in heaven fellowship nonstop. We love to do it here. Who doesn't like inviting people over and sharing some food and just blessing each other with that companionship, that friendship? It happens all over heaven. People say, why would I need stuff? I don't need stuff. Because you give it away. When you go visit, you take gifts. When you get there, from the time you get there, your family and friends have started collecting presents for you. You have a massive amount of gifts waiting on you. They didn't forget you. And guess what? They even know the latest thing you like because they're watching you. And they're collecting it. When you go home to heaven, you have a fantastic welcome home party. God even invented parties, not Satan. They party all the time in heaven. In the throne room, they dance continually. They're on their face from the glory of God, but most of the time they're dancing everywhere. The Lord literally will come off his throne and dance with you because he wants to be with his people. He's not far away up there, not caring what you're going through. He doesn't want you living in depression, oppression, and confusion. Those are things the enemy brings to you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if any of that's happening to you, it isn't from the Father. Because Christ came to bring life and bring it more abundantly. We're supposed to go from glory to glory, not from heartache to heartache, not from poor to poorer. And I know this economy doesn't look good, but guess what? We're under God's economy. He is our provider. And yes, I know you have to work for a living, because the one thing he told me to share with everybody, the difference between heaven and earth, besides the fact that they're there, is that on earth, you have to make a living in order to exist. But in heaven, you exist to live. They are more alive now than they ever were on this planet. They are free from sickness, from fear, from confusion, from lack, from hate, from rejection. They experience none of that. They live a life of unending joy and adventure. And I know I've talked a lot, but there's one thing I do want to share. I know many of you have heard the story of Marissa, but I do want to tell that before I stop and we take a break. What the Lord would do, what he would just come to me, and sometimes he would warn me, sometimes he would not, and instantly I would not be here. I would be in heaven somewhere. I've never been through the gates, so don't ask me what they look like. I can't tell you that. But I would instantly be somewhere in heaven, and the reason for that wasn't for me. He's never shown me my home. He didn't take me there to tell me something about myself. They took me on the tour so I could tell you what heaven was like. And the way he did this was, he would let me be right near a group of people. He would tell me who he wanted me to listen to, and I have a photographic memory. So even to this day, I remember every time I went and what I saw, you never forget being in heaven. And he would let me hear what they were saying. He'd bring me back to earth. I would type it all down. I had a heaven ministry. And then he would give me the names of the family members of the person I saw in heaven. I didn't know any of these people. I would call them. And yes, he even gave me the phone number sometimes. Sometimes I would sit down, he would give me a list of names and phone numbers of people. I would then call those people, and I would tell them, and thank God at that time I didn't have the pink hair. I don't know what they would have thought of me. It was bad enough telling them I had been to heaven and I had a message from God about their loved ones. I never told them their loved ones told me because they never talked to me. I was an observer. But guess what? You can learn a lot, can't you, by observing. That's how you become a witness. So he would have me contact them. I would meet with them somewhere, sometimes in their home, sometimes not, because they didn't quite know who I was. And I would begin to share off that paper what God had showed me about their loved ones, what I had heard them saying about their families on earth. And they would begin to weep and cry and laugh. And they knew I had been to heaven because they didn't know me. And I didn't know their family members. I described them perfectly. I walked through their mansions. I knew how they liked things decorated. I knew what they liked to eat. I knew the colors they liked to wear. And I knew things many times from their childhood. This person could have been 90 when they passed away, but they looked 25 in heaven. That's why none of the senior citizens want to come back here. Don't ask them to come back because they're not going to come. Because they're no longer old or feeble. They're young and they're having fun in the presence of God. You should celebrate and rejoice any time a loved one goes to heaven. And yes, I know sometimes it's tragic how they get there, but guess what? They're up there celebrating. They're up there rejoicing. They're up there being welcomed home by the Father. From the second they leave their body, they do not remember the pain. They do not remember the suffering. They do not remember the tragedy. And if you could go to heaven and visit them, they wouldn't even talk about it. It completely is gone from their being. They're immediately in the presence of God. They're being drawn up into the holy heavenly realm. Don't ask them to come back because they're not going to do it. And if I didn't have to come back, I wouldn't have come back. They never ask me. I don't get a choice. What happened was my mother and I, we did hospitality in our church. And by the way, I love my pastor. I've been going there for almost 20 years. And yes, he knew I was going to heaven all those years. I was a part of his prophetic ministry team. He really wasn't surprised. But he was surprised at this one thing that happened. So we had just finished a four-day event, and my mother and I were very tired. That meant 10 hours a day volunteering. We had a group of 50 Huguenots come from France, and we fed them for 3 days. And the last day, we cleaned up after them. So we were tired, but we got a call from the pastor's wife, and she asked a favor of us. She wanted to know if we would mind cleaning the home of this elderly woman because she had just hosted the out-of-town guest for a funeral. Now, the funeral didn't take place at our church. It took place on the other side of town, about 30 miles away. Jacksonville is a huge place. It takes 2 hours to go from one point to the other. So you can spend a lot of time driving. So anyway, she wanted to know if we would clean this woman's house, and I really didn't want to do it because I was tired, and my mother said, of course we'll do it. So we showed up the next day. We found out that a young teenage girl had been killed, and this was her funeral that had taken place. And that this woman, we didn't know how they were related yet at that moment, had hosted all the people. We did also learn that it was on a youth field trip, which kind of made it worse. Because, you know, when you send your children out on field trips with youth, you expect them to come back. This was a very precious young lady, we found out later. She'd given her life to the Lord at a young age. She had influenced hundreds and hundreds of children with her life. I'm going to take a drink just a second. I forget to stop and drink because I'm just as excited sharing as you are hearing. We arrived and my mom said, you just do the easy stuff. You just go ahead and dust and I'll go start cleaning in the kitchen. And so I got the duster and I'm dusting the fireplace mantle, not very energetically. And all of a sudden the Lord speaks to me. And he goes, I want you to give Melody a message. And I said, well, who's Melody? And he said, well, that's Marissa's mother. Well, who's Marissa? She's the young girl who just died in the ski accident. You're standing in her grandmother's home. And I said, oh. So immediately my mind is starting to try to figure out this connection of who these people are. And the Lord said, I want her to know that her great-grandfather met her at the gate, that she's not living by herself. She's living with him because she was only 13. And immediately he let me hear her mother saying to him in one of her prayers after her daughter died, I wish I knew where she was. I know she's there in your presence, but I don't want her to live alone. Is she going to be by herself? Where is she? Where is she in heaven? So the Lord was actually answering that prayer in a powerful way. And so I'm standing there trying to figure this out, and instantly I'm not in front of the fireplace anymore. I'm on a path in heaven. And every time I go, I'm overwhelmed. I'm trying to look at the sky. I'm trying to look at the flowers. And there was many flowers where I was walking. The trees were about 80 feet high. I couldn't stop staring at them. And the Lord said, no, you need to look on the path ahead of you. There were three people. And so I got closer and closer. And I noticed one was a teenage girl. Even though I'd never seen her before, she had strawberry blonde hair. She had big blue eyes, and she was looking up into the face of somebody who did not look like a great-grandfather. I found out later he was way up in his 80s, but to me he looked like he was about 20 or 25. I remember every detail of his face, what he looked like. There was another young girl there. It looked like she was about 18 years old with long blonde hair, and Marissa had on a blue and white tunic and pants, which kind of amazed me. I've seen a lot of the gowns in heaven and the robes. But the Lord said, you can't ride roller coasters in a gown. And so I'm really getting surprised. And I noticed they had these beautiful gates. We're passing through gates in heaven. They have columns and gates, but no walls. And what that means is you're entering into a new part of heaven, which means a new adventure. And they're always open in the direction you need to go into that new area. And so we passed through these massive gates, and I didn't draw them or put them in the illustration. I tried to keep it as basic as I could, so when you get there, you get to see all the special extra things. So they're walking through this gate, and she's talking very excitedly about where he's going to take her. And then she started talking about her mother. I wish I could have told her goodbye. I know she's grieving for me. I wish she knew that I was a youth leader in heaven. I'm up here cheering her on. She's got a destiny. She has to finish that. I want her to know I love her very much, and when I see her again, I'm going to kiss her on both cheeks. I'm going to share everything that's happened to me since I haven't seen her. I want her to know what my assignment is. Do you know what her assignment was? To many people, this would be a terrible tragedy that a 13-year-old would go to heaven. And the Lord said, let her mother know that I did not take her, but I knew the day she would come home, so I planned her destiny in heaven. Children that die don't lose anything. They're still going to become what he purposed them to become. Their giftings and callings are without repentance. They will grow very, very slowly in heaven, but they will still become what they were supposed to, whether it was an artist, whether it was a jewelry designer, whether it was a baker, and yes, there's food in heaven. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyway, so it is a fantastic place. The more they walked, the more she talked. And so I heard all these intimate details about her life in heaven. And we got closer and closer, and I could see this massive roller coaster in the distance. And I'm like, there's roller coasters in heaven? And the Lord said, yes, this is the largest roller coaster we have here, which meant there's more. And he said, it's called the Rush. And I found out why, because the closer we got, I could see the people on it. They were whizzing up and down these things, these rails. There were no wheels. I still to this day don't know what was holding it on. But the difference in this roller coaster was they would leap from track to track over nothing. When they came to the very top peak, which I have no idea could have been 100, 200, 300 feet, I don't know, because no one in heaven can get hurt. You can't fall off, and even if you did, you wouldn't get hurt because nobody gets sick, hurt, injured, or dies in heaven. So you can enjoy some of the greatest adventures you never dared to do on this earth. You get to do them there. When this roller coaster reached the peak, and by the way, there were angels riding on it too. When they went down that steep decline, everybody, including the angels, lifted their hands and screamed all the way down. They were laughing and shouting, and I'm like, I'm just completely being blown away. And when you have fun, And he said, I told you we were going to make you have fun in heaven. He said, we want people to know it's not boring. So I got close enough, and when she was done sharing whatever the Lord wanted me to hear, instantly I was back in front of the fireplace. Well, the first thing I did was call my mother. Get in here. I have to tell you what happened to me. I had already been going to heaven since 1996. This was 2001. So I'd already made many trips, but this was going to turn out to be one of the most significant ones. I shared with her what happened. We called the pastor's wife's office. Immediately, her secretary talked to me. I shared with her what happened. She said, you hold on. And she went and came back about 10 minutes later. She goes, I have Melody's phone number to give to you because Sharon said, you have to call her right now. So obviously, they knew them. I didn't know that they knew them. And I'll tell you in a few minutes how well they knew them. Anyway, because, see, my pastor had actually preached the funeral. I found out later. He was over on the other side of town preaching the funeral while I was serving the Huguenots. So they knew I wasn't there. They knew there was no way I could have known any of this information. So I called Melody. I went home. I typed everything down that I heard. And I called Melody, and it was kind of hard to get her to accept me because the funeral had just happened. This was the Friday after the funeral when this was happening. And she was very, very wounded. She actually wanted to go dig up her daughter and hold her. She was the only thing she had. She was all she had. And I found out they had the most close relationship. They really loved each other. They did everything together. She had high hopes and plans for Marissa, and now she was taken from her. So I finally convinced her to meet with me. She met with me, and I told her, now, you just sit down. We met outside a mall. She didn't trust me to come to her home. She thought it was kind of strange, but, you know, she was so hungry to know about her daughter that she was willing to take a chance. So I said, you sit there and don't say anything. I'm going to read off of these papers what I saw and heard. And when I'm done, you can tell me what you think, if you believe this is God or not God. Well, I already knew what was going to happen because it always happened. And God never misses. So I started to share, and the first thing I said was, her great-grandfather met her at the gate. She's living with him, and I saw them going on roller coaster rides. After I said those words, she almost fainted on me. So I stopped and I said, are you okay? I thought she was just overwhelmed with grief, and she could only shake her head, and she just said, that meant go on. So I did. She just was shaking her head at me, yes, just go. So I kept reading, and she started laughing, and then she'd cry, and then she'd laugh, and she'd cry. She was getting so overwhelmed, but she was getting overwhelmed and blessed, because I knew that she was learning the truth of what her daughter was experiencing and where she was. God was answering her prayer. When I was done, she looked at me and she said, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have been to heaven, and I know you saw my daughter. I don't know you. I've never seen you. You don't know my daughter, but you just described her perfectly, and actually, you told me things that only Marissa would know, not other people. So there's no way you could have gotten that from anybody. She said, but the most significant thing that I know why you saw her was because of what you first said to me. She said, the day before the funeral, I was in her room, and I felt impressed to look under her bed. Under her daughter's bed, she found a journal that she'd kept in 1995. It was a school assignment. She was asked to write down something significant in her life every day for a year. Her mother had never seen the journal, and I know as parents, I'm sure a lot of you never saw the homework until you found it wadded up in a pocket or stuffed in a bag somewhere. And she was no different. She had kept this journal. She wasn't required to show it to her mom. She was a very busy person, so she would just take it out, write on it, and stick it under her bed. And to this day, the teacher who gave that assignment remembers it. She remembers the day that she read the words that I'm about to tell you because it was so unusual. But in October 5th of 1995, on one of the pages, the mother found these words written. This is before I shared with her. Last night, I dreamed I died early and went to heaven early. I dreamed I met my great-grandfather, and I went on roller coaster rides. I did see tons of mansions, and it was wonderful. But just like the roller coaster, well, he only gave me a peek, so just like the roller coaster, I went back down. That was not just a dream she had. That was the prophetic dream of what actually would happen in this girl's life 7 years later. It was an awesome experience that she had. And now God was about to use this to reveal that not only is heaven real, but it is fun. The mother was overwhelmed. She said, not only that, you told me significant things every day of her life from the time she went to school. My daughter kissed me on both cheeks. She said, every day she came home from school, she shared with me everything that she experienced. Her goal in life was to become a youth leader. And even though she's only 13, that's what she is in heaven. The assignment in heaven that God gave her that she wanted her mother to know about is that she is going to orchestrate, organize, and plan the youth who live in heaven, their part of celebrating in the marriage supper of the Lamb. When I shared that with her mother, she said she understood why God would choose her daughter. Because in her elementary school and in her middle school, everybody was her friend. She would sit with people and pray with them. She would befriend the ones that nobody wanted to be with. She made everybody feel special and important. And when they had an event in school, many times she was put in charge. See, God was already preparing her. She wouldn't leave anybody out, whether they had gifts or not. So that was what she was called to for her destiny. Her mother later told me that even as a baby in her arms, her daughter was prophesied over that she would not live a long life on this earth, but it would make a significant impact for the kingdom of God. That prophecy, both of them were being carried out. So Marissa now lives in heaven. She's organizing the youth. And he actually gave me one more message for her mother about 2 years later. It was a significant time in her mother's life. It was when Marissa would have graduated. It was a little bit more than 2 years. It was several years. But I shared with her how Marissa was building this beautiful secret garden for her mother, and that the Lord had actually created a special rose and named it after Melody. The rose was gold with beautiful, it was like burgundy color had been poured out over this rose, and it just drained down inside of it. It was beautiful. And the flower played Melody's favorite music. And she was tending this garden as a blessing for her mother. When she got there, it would be a place they could go together. You don't forget who you were. You know who your parents are in heaven. You still get to see them. They're probably about your age, which is wonderful. And your grandparents, too. You remember whose family you were with. You remember your husband and wives. You remember that. You're not separated or kept apart. You don't become robots. You become even more you than you ever could be here. Melody's life was changed forever, and some of their family didn't quite understand how this could happen. So at their son's wedding, by the way, the man that I saw in heaven was my father, my pastor's father. The great-grandfather was my pastor's father. Marissa was his great-niece, and the home I was cleaning was his brother's. And I didn't know any of that when all of this happened. So all these people who can corroborate my story are prophets, they're teachers, they're pastors with an impeccable reputation. And all of them have given me letters of endorsement stating that everything I said was absolutely the truth. So that's how God used me for many, many years. When it came time to do the book, the Lord told me to go back to all these people and get them to give me a legal release so that I could put the stories in here. Every single name is real. None of the names have been changed because I have permission. People call these people in here, and they will tell you on the phone everything she's saying is true. Heaven is real. It is a fantastic place. And I know that my loved ones are there, and they know what's going on in my life. So you need to be ready for the greatest experience of your life. If you know someone who's about to pass away and it's their time to go, let them know. Let them know how real it is. Let them know where they're going. I've had the opportunity to share with people not only what's there, but the Lord actually showed me their home. They knew what they were going to live in before they got there. God cares about you. So we're going to take a little break right now so y'all can refresh yourself in the Lord, and then I'll come back.